At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Part 2. Andrew hadn't bothered taking his motorcycle to walk the 6 blocks to Valencia Street from his new apartment. He knew the mission well enough to know that parking, even for a bike like his, was hard to find during business hours. He double-checked the address Bob had given him and looked at the store in front of him, a smile slowly creeping onto his face. The store was simply called 826 Valencia on the facade, but looking in the window, he could tell this was no ordinary store. A big handwritten sign declared that this was the Pirate Supply Store and that here one could find everything you need for your life on the seven seas. Inside, he could hear a lot of voices as if the store was completely filled with children. "Pirate supplies?" Andrew said, grinning. "What could a pirate need? Peg legs? A shovel to dig up treasure? A cutlass?" He walked through the open door, still grinning. Inside, the store was made to look like a strange mix of old-style ship supply store, toy store, and museum. Old brass globes stood on shelves next to plastic swords and dice with skulls on them instead of dots. The front room of the store was nearly empty, but the commotion came from a large back room where Andrew could see about 28 children, mostly Latino, seated around 6 wooden tables. A clerk looked up at him from behind the little register. "Can I help you?" Andrew cleared his throat. I'm looking for Captain Blue. I was told he should be here." The clerk smiled. "Oh, yeah. The captain is in, all right, but he's up in his cabin. You can wait if you want. Just sit down inside the door here. I think he'll be busy for a while, though." Puzzled, but with a grin on his face, Andrew slipped into the back room and sat on a bench a little away from the school kids, looking around the room. It was made to look like the hold of a pirate ship, with round portholes looking out in what was made to be underwater scenes, complete with pictures of fish to give the impression that you were underwater. The wooden beams in the ceiling were exposed, and the furniture looked old and slightly quirky. Along the walls were bookshelves, lined with hundreds of both paperback and hardback books, and several pirate flags hung from the shelves. In the corner, a steep, narrow ship's ladder led up to an opening in the ceiling, covered with a pirate flag waving slightly, as if there was an open window up there. The children listened as a woman was telling them a story, explaining with large hand gestures. Andrew listened with interest. "So, when Captain Blue had sailed on the seven seas all his life, one day he grew tired of the pirate life," she said, pausing dramatically. "So, when his ship ran aground in the San Francisco Bay, he didn't bother shipping out again. He brought the ship here, built it into a house, and became a book publisher instead."
"As any good pirate would do," Andrew mumbled.
"Can we see him?"
one of the boys asked.
"He's very old now, more than 100, and he doesn't like people, especially children. In fact, people don't see him ever, since he's got tons of dangerous diseases from all his time spent on the high seas. But he has to make a living, so that's why he became a publisher. However, he only publishes the very best books, and even then, only if they really, really impress him. So now, if we can win him over, he's going to look at the stories you wrote before coming here. I'm going to wake him up and see if he's ready, okay? And remember, when he speaks to you, you say, "Aye, Captain!"
The woman went to the ship's ladder, climbed up, and knocked 3 times on the corner of the opening.
"Captain Blue, are you awake?"
A voice answered from the other side of the flag. Andrew had to hide his grin behind his hand. The voice was gruff and annoyed, but obviously a good actor.
"What in the 7 hells? Is that you again, Susan? Haven't I told you time and time again that those stories you bring me just don't cut it? They're just not good enough. Kids today have forgotten how to write, and they just want to play computer games and watch cat videos all day."
"Captain Blue, I know you said that," Susan answered. "But I promise you, these kids are good. They're from the Dolores Huerta Elementary School, and they're very, very talented."
"Arr," the voice said in a classic pirate growl. "But they probably just write about all the things I don't like. Isn't that so? Vampires, zombies, that sort of thing, right? I bet they're like all the other kids who can't come up with anything fresh and original."
"No, Captain Blue,"
Susan said, and Andrew could tell that this was a part she was used to playing.
"They're very creative. I think you should give them a chance."
The voice growled again.
"Fine, fine. Tell those young buckaroos that I want to see some examples of what they have, but only if you really believe I'll be impressed."
"Aye, Captain, I will."
"And tell those scallywags they might as well learn to salute the captain right away. What do you say when the captain gives you an order?"
Susan turned and looked at the kids, raising her hand as a signal. As one, the kids yelled,
"Aye, Captain!"
"That's more like it," Captain Blue said. "Now, send the stories up here."
Susan went around the tables, picking up various pieces of paper from the children. Some of them had put their stories in plastic binders. Others had just a crumbled piece of paper, and others only had a drawing, but she took everything with her. She climbed the steps again and passed the papers up. They were immediately snatched by someone on the other side, and Andrew could hear the papers being flipped through while Captain Blue mumbled something.
"Ah, this is more like it, Susan," he said after a few moments. "This is excellent, Juan. Muy excelente. Jennifer, very good storytelling. Oh, Pablo, I think that's the best picture I've seen in weeks. That should go on the cover."
Each child perked up as Captain Blue called out something about their story. It seemed that every single one was the best he had ever read. It took about 15 minutes to go through all of them.
"You know what?"
Captain Blue exclaimed after finishing all the little stories.
"There's no way I can choose just one of these to publish. Susan, fire up the presses. We're going to publish all of them. Make sure they're ready for the kids to take home today."
"Aye, Captain,"
Susan replied with a smile. She reached up and got the papers back.
"Okay, kids, we're going to publish all of your books. I'll go get things started. But in the meantime, you can eat your lunches."
The children got up, and the noise level immediately got higher as they found their school bags and lunch boxes. Slowly, they settled down and began to eat. Andrew walked to Susan and put his hand on her shoulder.
"Excuse me, I was wondering if it's possible to beg an audience with Captain Blue, while they eat, I mean."
"Who are you?"
Susan said, looking at him a little puzzled.
"Are you an extra teacher? You know Captain Blue never sees anyone."
No, not as such. I just want to have a couple of words with the captain.
If I can do it without spoiling the illusion for the kids, that is. He sounds very convincing.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Susan cast a glance up at the hatch. I'll see what I can do. She climbed up the steps, and instead of using her theater voice, she whispered through the hatch. A reply, kept in equally low tones, came back. Andrew looked at the kids, but they were far too busy eating and talking to notice what was going on. Susan climbed back down. Here, you can go up, but there's not a lot of room up there. Watch your head. At the same time, the Captain Blue voice again sounded from above them.
Is my cabin boy there yet, Susan? This place is in dire need of cleaning. One of those damn seagulls flew in through the window and... Well, you know what they do.
Aye, Captain, he's here, Susan said. I'm sending him up now.
The hatch opened, and Andrew, now grinning from ear to ear, climbed the steps. Below him, he saw kids with eyes wide looking up at him.
Won't he get sick from all the terrible diseases?
A little girl asked.
No. You see, he sailed with Captain Blue on his last voyage.
Susan cocked her thumb up at Andrew.
He's got immunity to all of them by now. That's why he can go up and help the captain clean. Otherwise, this whole place would smell horrible.
Andrew squeezed past the flag and up the last step. The room above was dark and small, and he remembered to duck his head. It lay under the rafters and had no insulation of any kind, making it fairly hot even at this early hour. There was only one thing in the room, a chair, sat between two rafters, and in it sat a man dressed in jeans and a blue shirt. He was bald, with sharp but pleasant features and a kind smile. He gestured for Andrew to close the hatch behind him, which Andrew did. The man smiled at him, eyes twinkling with good humor, and reached out his hand. Andrew shook it.
"Cabin boy reporting for duty,"
Andrew said, crouching in front of the chair and finally deciding to sit down cross-legged on the floor.
"Oh, yeah, sorry about that," the man replied. "I needed some kind of excuse. Otherwise, the kids poke their heads up here and it kind of ruins the illusion. Captain Blue needs to be a mysterious figure, completely unseen."
"That's okay. I'm Andrew Picard, by the way. I take it you're Martin Guerrero, when you're not yo-ho-hoing the pirate's life?"
"That's right. What can I do for you?"
He looked at the shoulder holster, visible under Andrew's jacket.
"Are you from the police? Have I done something wrong?"
"No, not at all. I'm..." Andrew stuck his hand in his pocket, getting the note out Bob had written, and held it in his palm.
"I'm actually here on kind of a personal errand. You see..." Oh man, I don't even really know how to say this without sounding like I'm in middle school, but I've got this friend, and he's very keen on asking you out, but he's not really able to do it himself."
Martin's eyes widened slightly.
"And this friend of yours, it's not you, I take it?"
"No, it's not me. That's what I meant about the whole middle school thing. It's an actual guy. Bob, whom I believe you know from your community theater days." Martin's eyes filled with understanding.
"Bob. Oh, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He was so funny and... Wait, why did he send you to do this?"
"Because, believe it or not, the guy's shy, and he's also not keen on walking into this place and scaring the, what do you call them? the buckaroos downstairs. He wanted to meet you for a date, but somewhere on more neutral ground, I would think. Martin looked like he didn't know if he should be flattered or annoyed. And he sent you instead? So what, should you and I just set up a date for him? No, I'm just here to pass the message that, well, he really likes you and wants to go out, and give you his number. Here. Andrew handed the note to Martin, who took it and looked at it. I assume you guys can set up your own dates. I'm not going to chaperone if that's what you're afraid of. Look, this is all very nice of you to do, but how come he didn't just ask me? I mean, I saw him every week for months, and then every night while we performed. Two reasons. Number one, he's actually quite fond of you, and I don't think he's used to that. Having a crush, I mean. He told me you treated him like an actual person, which is rare for him. Why wouldn't I? Martin shrugged. Well, because of number two. You see, that look he had? The red skin, the horns, the tail? Yeah? That's not an act. It's not makeup. It's what he looks like all the time. And I think he was scared that would put you off. You're kidding me. How can he look like that all the time? Martin asked. I mean, he looked like an actual devil. Yep, but it's the inside that counts, so I'm told. And he's a genuinely nice guy. How you look is only part of the package, right? Right, of course. I mean, he's very handsome, just a bit, I don't know, different. But different can be good, right? You should see the girl I used to date. Did he tell you that he owns a bar? Yes, he did, actually, but that bar is one of the nicest places in the city when you feel like you don't exactly fit in. Bob's a guy who helps others fit in, but it's hard for him to do it himself, and apparently, he almost never dates himself. But he wanted so much to date you that he actually asked me to do this. So, that's it. You have his number. If you want to go out with him, give him a call. Martin put the paper in his pocket. I will. You know, I don't think I've ever been asked out by proxy before. It's sort of old-fashioned, but I kind of like it. Can I ask you something? What is this place, anyway? Andrew said. I've never heard of a pirate supply store before. Well, it's a non-profit organization aimed at inspiring kids to do creative writing. All those kids down there, they come from schools all over the city. We help them get some experience into writing, drawing, basically storytelling. It's our way of trying to spark some creativity in them, and it often works wonders. The kids make little books, write them, draw the illustrations, and everything themselves, and we publish them, so they get a real book to take home in 2 hours with their own name on it. That sounds pretty fun, actually. But why pirates? Martin winked. Everything's better with pirates. Didn't you know that? In that case, glad to be of service, Captain. Andrew ticked off a small salute. So, if I got all of the seagull crap out of your carpet, I'd better get down there again, don't you think?
Yes, go ahead.
And, Andrew, Martin said, reaching out a hand to shake his hand. Thank you. Bob's lucky to have friends like you.
Glad you think so. Hope to see you again.
Andrew swung his legs down past the flag and began to climb down. Before his head went through the opening, he saw Martin look at the paper, then dreamily out of the small window in the roof.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.